Hello Hope Singapore, Hello Hope Global, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to have you here with us. And I want to let you know about the exciting happenings that are happening just on the 24th and the 25th of December, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, usually in Hope Singapore, we celebrate our Christmas on the weekend just before Christmas. So the Saturday, Sunday, this particular weekend that you might be watching this, 19th, 20th of December, is when we typically celebrate Christmas together. We hold our Christmas services. It's a wonderful time. But this year, we're doing it a little bit differently. On the 24th and 25th of December, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we are celebrating Christmas together in our homes, in our small groups, all over Singapore, all over the world. And our Christmas theme for this year is called Christmas with Hope. Super creative, right? Hope Church, you know, Christmas with Hope. Get it? Super good. All right. And so on the 24th and 25th December, I want to let you know that there are multiple programs that are happening online for different age groups, different live stations, different, you know, like there are so many programs happening during the day on the 24th and 25th, and we're going to enjoy celebrating Christmas over and over again in various different ways. Okay, so please, please make sure that you invite your family and friends to join us for Christmas with Hope. And, you know, Christmas is around the corner, and one of the things that many people get really busy with is preparing gifts for Christmas. And in terms of getting gifts for other people, my wife and I have totally opposite kind of habits when we shop for gifts. So Rui Xiao, when she shops for gifts for people, right, she looks for winners, like things that she knows that people will like, and then she eyes it, and doesn't matter, even if it's not their birthday or not Christmas, she will get it for them, and her joy is just to see them receive something that she knows they will like, and they will light up and say, wow, thank you so much. But she doesn't mind missing out giving presents on Christmas or birthdays or other occasions. Whereas I cannot do that. Like, I must give something on that occasion. I cannot afford to, like, have that occasion pass and we didn't get anything for you, even if you may not like the present that I'm getting you. So we have very different styles. And I'm just wondering, those of you who are watching this on-site or online, which kind of, like, way of giving gifts are you more inclined to? Are you more inclined to, like, A, which is, like, you must get good gifts, good presents, even if it means missing out giving presents for some occasion, or B, which is that you must get something. You must get something for the occasion, Christmas, birthday, something, even if the person may not like it. Which one are you more inclined to? If you're watching online, type it in the chat box. Are you more like A, or more like B, or more like C, that you just want to receive presents and don't want to give any? And if you're on-site, you know, just signal to the person beside you, A, B, all right, it's harder to do B, so most people just do A. If you're watching this, I want to take you through a familiar Christmas story and what this might mean for us personally. And the title of today's message is The Wonderful Gift, taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. If you're writing notes today, or if you want to take down the title of today's message, it's The Wonderful Gift from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And I'm just going to give you some advance warning, a heads up, that this message will not have the typical point 1, point 2, point 3 that we're used to and the verse references, but I'm just going to unpack the story. I'm just going to tell you as the story unfolds, and then I'm going to share with you and I what I feel this story means for us in Christmas 2020. Are you ready? So you can follow me along on the screen as I read these 12 verses to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So earlier, I asked you, right, which kind of person are you when you're buying gifts? Are you like A, right, who, you know, you buy gifts that you know someone will like, even if it means not giving something for the occasion, or B, you must give something for the occasion, even if the person may not like it, right? But regardless of whether you're like A or B, you see, at least you know who you're buying the gift for. Does that make sense? Like when you shop for a gift, at least you know who you're buying the gift for, and at least... Now, some husbands might disagree, but at least you kind of know what they like or what they need, all right? Yeah, you might not know exactly what they want, but at least you kind of know who. You're buying for your mom, you're buying for your brother, you're buying for your aunt, you're buying for your nephew. At least you know who you're buying the gift for, what age they are, what their hobbies might be. But now, in this story, the Magi that were preparing these gifts, they had no idea who was on the receiving end of the gifts. They knew that they were looking for the King of the Jews, but they never met this King of the Jews before. They didn't know what he was like. But they brought their gifts in anticipation of who they were going to give the gifts to. And then in the passage that we read, there was a very strange phenomenon. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, the Magi who came from the east, they came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" So they prepared expensive gifts, but they didn't know who to be looking for, and they asked. They went to Jerusalem where they expected a king to be born in the capital. And so they went to Jerusalem, they went to ask the existing king, "Where is the King of the Jews to be born?" And these Magi, they were coming from a country in the east where Magi are like wise men. You might have understood or heard from some of the Christmas stories, the wise men followed the star. So Magi are like wise men. They practice a combination of astrology plus human wisdom plus some forms of religious practices, all right, religious mysticism. So these Magi, imagine with me, if you are in Singapore right now, they spent, what scholars say, about 6 to 9 months following this star and traveling. Imagine walking on foot from Bangkok to Singapore. That's a long, long way to walk. But what was unthinkable is that they prepared all these expensive gifts, they traveled 6 to 9 months, and they didn't know who they were giving these gifts to. They didn't know who this King of the Jews was. They just followed the star. And the story goes on. Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was King Herod disturbed? You see, at that time, King Herod was the king. He was in power, but he was not the rightful heir to the throne. The way he obtained the throne and the rulership over Jerusalem was that he aligned himself with the Romans. And the Romans are like the oppressors, the conquerors. So because Herod aligned himself with Rome, they put him in charge. But Herod and the rest of the Jews knew that he is not the rightful heir because he does not come from the line of David. So he's not the Davidic heir to the throne. So when this Magi announcement came, Herod knew that the real king in the lineage of King David was about to be born and his time in power was coming to an end. So this got Herod really nervous. Let's read on. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, they had asked him where the Messiah was to be born. You see, previously, the Magi didn't even use the word the Messiah. But right now here in verse 4, he's asking the people, where is the Messiah? What it means is the Savior, the Christ. All these words mean the same thing. Where is the Christ going to be born? Herod knew, along with the rest of Jerusalem, along with the rest of the Jews, they knew that Messiah, Christ, and King of the Jews is referring to the same person. That's what all the prophets of Israel were prophesying about. All right? And so the Magi replied in verse 5, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so Herod was really nervous, and then he called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, please report quickly to me so that I too may go and worship him. And if you know the story, you know that Herod is not wanting to worship this new king of the Jews because he's worried about his own power. You know he's going to do something nasty, right? But so the Magi didn't know that, right? The Magi didn't know all this background story because they came from a completely far away foreign land. So this King Herod said, tell me when you find this king of the Jews, let me know so I'm going to worship him. And so the Magi set off on their way. And verse 9 says, when they had heard the king, they went on their way and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now imagine with me, first and foremost, that this star has led them for 6 to 9 months, that they've been following this star every night on foot. Now imagine, how crazy is that? Imagine you see a star in Bangkok, and then you follow this star on foot, carrying gears and everything, and then you're following this star for 6 to 9 months every day until you reach Singapore. How crazy and unthinkable that is. But more unthinkable is that the star was able to lead them to the exact place of Jesus' birth. Now, previously, when I was serving my national service, I was in the Navy, and one of the things we did in the Navy was that we did this thing called astro-navigation. We used a tool, an instrument called a sextant to aim at the stars, and by the angle of where we were from a specific star, we could try to determine our position in the South China Sea. So we tried that, and as we did the exercise among all my peers, that when the results came out, we were thousands of miles off. You know, we were way off, hundreds of kilometers, hundreds of miles off from our actual location. Why? Because one tiny fraction of a degree difference with that star can lead to many, many, many kilometers difference on Earth. So for this star to not only guide them to the city of Bethlehem, which was just 6 miles away from Jerusalem, but to guide them to the exact very, very spot, the manger that Jesus was in, was impossible. It must have been supernatural. Because imagine you were to follow this star from Bangkok on foot to Singapore for 6 to 9 months, and by the time you reach Singapore, you kind of like roughly know, okay, in Singapore, where's the place? But the star looks like it's directly above. Let's say the star is above Textile Center. You have to be so sure. The star has to be so super low, right, that you don't go into Sultan Plaza or Crawford Lane or City Gate or Concourse. It has to be so precise. And that's why when you read this story, it's incredible to think that such a supernatural phenomenon, that the Magi following a star for 6 to 9 months could lead them directly to the exact manger that Jesus was born. And here's the last part of the story, which I would really like to unpack for you. On coming to the house in verse 11, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can we keep that verse on for a little while? Now, listen, when they came to the house, they saw the child and the mother, but they knew that the child is the one who was king of the Jews. This is just a baby. No one knows what this baby will grow up to do when the baby grows up to be a full-grown person, but they knew somehow this baby, born in a very humble, unassuming circumstance, is going to be the next king of the Jews. So they bowed down and they worshipped him, and then they gave three gifts from their home country, from their country of origin, of great, great value. Now, I want to let you know this at this point of time, that as the Magi presented the gifts, these three gifts, they did not know that Jesus is the Son of God. They probably thought in their mind that this would be the next king, as in political king, right? Social king, but not the Son of God. So as they presented these gifts, it turned out that though they chose these three gifts because they were very expensive from their country of origin, but the nature of the gifts turned out to be very meaningful and significant in foretelling Jesus' purpose on earth. The first gift they presented was the gift of gold. Gold, in those days and today, is an extremely valuable metal. In those days and today, most people store their wealth in gold. Gold is known as one of the most stable commodities. Even if the economy crash, gold will be stable. In fact, gold, the value of gold will go up. It's known as one of the most stable storage of value. But for royalty, gold was used to make things for daily use, like jewelry, like ornaments, and even the things that they eat with, their dining instruments, were made of gold. So what gold represents is royalty. And the gift of gold can represent Jesus' kingship. So the first gift, gold representing kingship, perfect, wonderful, on point, on target. The second gift that they brought is frankincense. Now remember, when the Magi brought these gifts, they did not know that Jesus was God. Jesus was the Son of God. They merely thought he was a king, right? But in Israel, frankincense was used ceremonially when they went to the temple and they worshipped Yahweh, they worshipped their God on the altar. So frankincense, this gift of frankincense, can represent Jesus' status as God's Son. Frankincense or incense represents worship. So the first gift, gold, representing kingship, perfect, on point, on target. The second gift, representing frankincense or incense, representing worship, perfect, on point, on target. And now the last gift, the gift of myrrh. I'm not sure if you have heard of what myrrh is, but myrrh is a liquid mixture. And it's used to prepare a dead body for burial. It's like a perfume, a fragrance to mask the smell of the decaying body. And what on earth are they giving myrrh for? Right? Gold to represent kingship? Perfect. Incense to represent worship? Fantastic. But myrrh represents death and burial. And even though the Magi probably did not understand even the significance of their gifts. These three gifts had far more symbolism than they had ever realized. Jesus is King. Jesus is God. But the gift of myrrh tells us that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. And what does that mean? All of us, we are born and we die. We eat too much, we exercise too little. We are born, we live a number of years on earth, and then we die. But Jesus is different. The purpose of his birth was to die. Jesus was born to die. And if you are finding this a little bit difficult to understand, well, let me explain. Jesus is the Son of God. And hundreds of years before Jesus was born, different prophets would prophesy that one day there will be this Messiah, this Christ that will come. And so Jesus was born supernaturally. I mean, here we're telling the story of how the Magi was led supernaturally to that place where Jesus was born, and Mary gave birth to him. You might know the story that Mary was a virgin, and yet it was a supernatural birth. And when Jesus grew up, and when Jesus grew into a man, he was a man of stature and authority. And when he taught from the scriptures, people were like, wow, they were so amazed at his wisdom. They were like, this person doesn't just teach, you know, with his own wisdom. It's like the wisdom comes from God. And then he would do incredible things, miraculous things. There would be like wind and waves, and the boats would be tossed all over, and he would say, calm, and then everything just became calm. And he would heal the sick. Blind people, they brought to him, and as he laid his hands on them, they could see. And the people who could not walk, as he prayed for them, they would be able to walk. And Jesus did incredible miracles, but not just that. He was a kind man. He spent time with people of society that no one wanted to spend time with. He was known as a friend of sinners, someone who would eat and drink with people like tax collectors and prostitutes and people who were shunned in society, yet Jesus would not ostracize them. Jesus would spend time with them. And he would lead a sinless life for his time on earth. But the most important thing that Jesus has done was that he died on the cross. And he died on the cross for sins he did not commit. And on the third day, when his body was put in the grave, he rose again, and his body could not be found by his enemies. And this Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead appeared to about 500 people after his death. But why did Jesus have to die? Jesus was King. Jesus was God. And Jesus was born to die. But why did Jesus have to die? Because of our sin. Our sin separates us from God. What is sin, you might ask? Sin are things like the lust of the flesh that we have, the pornography that we watch online, the premarital sex that we commit, the extramarital affairs. All these things are sin and separate us from God. Sin are things like the hatred and the anger that we have towards people, the jealousy and the hateful words that we use, and the violent actions, and all these things are sin, and it hurts us deeply, and it hurts the people around deeply. Sin are things like dishonest things that we do, like cheating and lying and stealing and deceiving others, and all these things are sin. And the worst part about sin, my friend, is that it's not just harmful to yourself, as bad as that is. The worst part about sin, my friend, is not just that it's harmful to the loved ones and the people around you, as bad as that may be. The worst part about sin is that it separates us from God. And you might wonder, what does my action have to do with God? The problem with sin is not just the action itself, but what it represents. Sin represents rebellion against God. It represents rebellion against God and the way He has designed us and the way He has created to live. And sin basically says, I'm taking matters into my own hands. I want to do it my way. And therefore, God allows us that choice. If you want to live a life apart from me, you can. And so then, our relationship with God is broken. We cannot go near to God here on earth. And by the time we take our last breath, that's it. For the rest of eternity, we are separated from God. And I need you to understand the bad news so that you can appreciate the good news. I need to share with you this very somber piece of information so that you can grasp why it's so important to have the good news. You see, Jesus is not just an add-on in our life. It's not just a plus-plus. It's like, oh, with Jesus, I can live a better life. With Jesus, life, you know, it's like enhanced, enriched. Jesus is not just an enhancement to our life. Jesus is all essential to our life. That the bad news tells us that we are separated from God here and forevermore. But God loves us so much. On the very first Christmas, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to be born as a man. The Savior of the world, God's very Son, born to earth. That's why Christians celebrate Christmas, my friends. It's not about the public holiday or the festivities or the programs, the events that we participate in. Christmas is so much more than just Santa Claus and reindeers and snowmen and jingle bells. Christmas is about Christ. Christmas is about the very birth of the Savior of the world, so that if we believe in Him, we can have eternal life. This is what God has done for us. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And by dying on the cross for our sins, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. Jesus was king, but He wasn't just a king who ruled from afar. Jesus was God, but He wasn't just a God that He could do supernatural things. Jesus was born to die. And by His death for us, we can have life. This is how God shows how much He loves you. By sending Jesus to die on the cross for your sins while you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The gift of His Son, the gift of eternal life, and the gift of a relationship with God, the most wonderful gift of Christmas. And this Christmas 2020, and what a crazy year 2020 has been. Maybe you watching this, you are like the Magi. And you're searching for something because 2020 has been so crazy in the last 6 to 9 months. And you're in this place right now as you're watching this, that you are in a situation so bad and so challenging that you think to yourself, man, I need a miracle. I need a miracle to turn my situation around because this one cannot be changed by man. And God, if you are real, now's a good time to show up. God, if you really can do miracles, now's a good time. Maybe you're at a place right now where you have things in your life and you're comfortable on the outside, but on the inside, you're just discontented. You're just dissatisfied. You're just thinking to yourself at this point of time, is there more to life than just accumulating material things, than just living for pleasures and hobbies? Maybe you're at that place right now where you're searching for some kind of meaning in your life, just like the Magi was following that star in search of something more. And I want to let you know, my friend, that perhaps you've been following a star 6 to 9 months, perhaps even longer. Perhaps you've been, some of these things and events have been happening in your life to lead you to this place right now in 2020 Christmas, where your heart is finally open and finally ready to say yes to Jesus. And if this is you today, my friend, I want to invite you to make the most important decision of your life, the best decision you can ever make, and say yes to Jesus. And just to let down your pride, and just to say, okay, God, I will allow you to come into my life, Christmas 2020. And if that is you, later on, I'm going to give you an opportunity, an invitation to pray a prayer to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. And perhaps some of you who are watching this, you're already Christ followers, you're already Christians. Most of you that are watching this are already believers. And you see some of the things that are happening in 2020 to the people around you. You see some of the events that are happening and the effect of it that is happening on your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, your classmates. And you're wondering to yourself, hey, is this God's way of leading them to Him? Is this God's way of opening up their heart? And you're wondering to yourself, and if this is you and you're wondering, can I encourage you? Don't just wonder. Help people experience the wonder. Help people experience the wonderful gift of Christmas. That this Christmas will be a beautiful time for God to use you, to allow God to use you as an instrument of His leading, to lead your fellow family and friends to come to a place to call Jesus their Lord and Savior. That your Lord and Savior will be theirs this Christmas as well. And I want to pray for you, and I want to encourage you to pluck up your courage and sow in faith. And as you sow in faith, you will reap in joy. As you pluck up the courage to hold a watch party, invite your friends to your place to just watch a program together, send a link to someone who you know might need it, just by faith, I pray that God will multiply what you do manifold and use you as an instrument to lead others to Him. Right now, I want to show you a short video of some of our friends who, some Christmases ago, they themselves have encountered the wonderful gift of Christmas.
It was Christmas 2012. I was 12 years old and I was bored and lonely during the holidays. Someone reached out to me in the mall and invited me to church. Since I was free, I decided to go. At a church service, I experienced a love life never experienced before through the community and also the message. That Christmas, I received Jesus into my life.
It was Christmas 2012. I was 13 at that time and was secretly going through depression and on the verge of ending my life. I felt helpless. That time, I thought of looking for God at a church, and in the days that followed after, a senior reached out to me at school and invited me to Hope. That Christmas, I experienced the tangible love of God and received Jesus into my life.
It was Christmas 2015. Back then, I was just a secondary school student where my life just revolved around basketball and there was nothing else. It was then when my friend Siria, who invited me to a Christmas service. At the service, the pastor mentioned about what God has done for me, and this made me wonder why did a God who doesn't even know me did so much for me. And this gave me the reason to find out more. And at that Christmas, I accepted Him into my life.
It was Christmas 2006. I went for service because my friend didn't have any visitors and kept asking me to go. And I happened to be upset about some friendship problems at the time and was sad about how love can be so self-centered and conditional. So through the service, I was surprised to know that God's love is unconditional and was curious to know how God can do that. So that Christmas, I made a decision to accept Jesus into my life.
It was Christmas 2015.
It was Christmas 2016.
It was Christmas 2018.
It was Christmas of 2014.
It was Christmas 2004.
It was Christmas 2012.
I remember it was a very new experience for me because this is where I know the true meaning of Christmas.
I saw God alive through how everyone was really like a family.
And during the altar call, I vividly remembered feeling this overwhelming sense of God's love in my heart that I've never experienced before.
It was then that I heard about Jesus for the very first time, and I decided to accept Him into my life.
Even though there were many doubts and uncertainties when I made the decision, looking back at my life right now, I would say that that was the best decision that I've ever made, because Jesus transformed my life.
That Christmas, I received Jesus into my life.
Wherever you are right now, can I invite you to just stand to your feet? If you're watching us in one of our locations, any of our locations, just rise to your feet right now. And even if you're watching this from home, and even if you're alone, I want to invite you, if it's okay with you, to just rise to your feet wherever you are right now. And as you do so, I also want to invite you to just close your eyes and bow your heads as I begin praying over some groups of people right now. The first group of people I want to pray for are the believers, your Christ followers. And I want to invite you, and I want to encourage you, and I want to implore you, don't let Christmas 2020 pass you by. You see, Christmas is not just an occasion, a public holiday, some festivities that happen around. But Christmas represents the birth of our Savior. And one of the best ways that we can recapture the wonder of Christmas, it's not just the wonder, but to help people experience this wonderful gift of Christmas. And I want to invite you right now that wherever you are, to just pluck up that courage. There's so many Christmas programs that were happening on the 24th, 25th of December that we're spoiled for choice. But I want to invite you, it's not about the lack of variety, but it's about our courage, our faith to believe God, that He can use us to bring the good news to the people around us. And I want to pray for you right now. So just lift your hands. Let me pray for you. And I pray, oh God, for my brother and my sister as they're committing themselves to you, that this Christmas 2020 will not just pass them by, but they will pluck up that faith, that courage to extend that invitation, to start that watch party, to invite people to their place, to send those links. And in the name of Jesus, as they do so in faith, as they sow in faith, you will multiply the effectiveness manifold, that they will yield and they will reap in joy, because their family and their friends, for the first time ever perhaps, will experience the wonder of Christmas, and our Savior will be their Savior as well. So we pray, oh God, as we commit our Christmas 2020 efforts into your hands, use us to lead others to your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And every eye remain closed, please, and every head remain bowed. And there's some of you that are watching this right now, that you're not yet a Christian. You're not yet a Christ follower. Or maybe you were once a Christian, you were once close to God, but you backslided away. And for some reason, you're watching this service with us, and I want to let you know that God loves you. And Christmas 2020, you know, what a crazy year that 2020 has been for everyone and for you. And I want to just suggest to you that perhaps, some of the events that happened in your life in 2020, God is using to lead you to Him. That if not for these events, perhaps, that your heart may not be as open, you may not be as ready, you may not even be watching this right now, but you are here because God has a plan for you, and He has a plan for your life because God loves you. And the best way that you can round up this whole 2020 is to finally say yes to Jesus. Say, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming home." And how do you do this? By saying this prayer with me. There's nothing magical about this prayer, but it's more about meaning it as sincerely as we can in our hearts. As you say these words with your mouth, mean it as much as you can in your heart. You're inviting Jesus to say, "I'm a sinner. I need your saving. and I want you to take control of my life. And that's what you're saying. And if you're ready, I want to invite you to just pray this prayer together with me. You can close your eyes, you can bow your head, you can clasp your hands, you can kneel down, you can stand up, you can sit down, whatever that's most meaningful to you. But the most important thing is that you say these words out loud with your mouth and mean it as much as you can in your heart. Are you ready to pray with me? Pray out loud with me. Say, "Dear Jesus." One more time. Say, "Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' name." And everybody say, amen. Amen, amen, amen. See you.